Hello, everybody, and welcome to the War Room. This one is for the UFC 276 main event between the Stylebender, defending his belt, Israel Adesanya, against Jared Cannonier. Oh, what a fight this is. Now, there seems to be a general consensus that Adesanya is just going to be a bit too much for him, and I understand that, because I played this fight through in my head. You know, I watched their old fights back, and I played this one through, and I kind of pull things apart and try and imagine them facing one another, and then, you know, extend it over rounds as they both start to take damage. And for the most part, I can see Israel Adesanya being on the outside, not really getting touched too much, and Jared Cannonier really struggling to close the distance. But if he does close the distance, that's where it gets really interesting, because he's not reckless. He's very, very powerful with everything that he throws. So it's not like he's going to be, you know, wild on the inside. And I think because he used to be a heavyweight, and he's like moved down through the weight classes, like he still moves people around like he's a heavyweight, like he's got heavyweight strength. Like there's no wasted weight on his frame at all. Not that there is really with Izzy either. But I would say, like, pound for pound, strength-wise, Jared Cannonier is going to be an absolute beast at close range. Let's have a quick tell of the tape first, and then I'll show you a couple of things. So, obviously, Adesanya has the height and reach advantage, 6'4" to 5'11", 80-inch reach compared to 77. And, of course, he makes the most of that reach and height, you know, really makes his opponents feel like they're a long way away. 22-1 for Adesanya. Why haven't I written down Cannonier's record? That was a silly thing, Jamie. Something, you can see his record because it's on the screen. I don't know why I didn't write it down. 10 TKOs on Cannonier's record, 15 on Adesanya's. The other thing that's worth remembering as well is Adesanya's got a kickboxing record of 75-5. And I've made this point before. Of his 75 wins, he's got 29 knockouts, which is a good portion of knockouts. But it's also a lot of fights that went the distance, which is why he's so good. Because he's had rounds and rounds to refine his craft against lots of different fighters. And it's always been in the striking range because it's kickboxing. And, you know, he's one of those guys that he's confident and he's elusive. So people are constantly trying to swing everything they've got at him. And, you know, he's a very, very slick operator. This is why on the outside you can imagine Jared Cannonier just getting eaten to pieces. But then, you know, so what does Jared Cannonier do to close that distance? Well, what we have seen from Jared Cannonier is really, really good, like, defense, like close-range defense. Like, against Anderson Silva, he was pretty much walking down into range, because he knew he had to get close to Anderson Silva, just like he has to get close to Adesanya. So him walking into range and him, you know, using that tight defense, like building that shell around him, yeah, I mean, he's going to take some shots. But Adesanya, aside from a couple of particular targets, which of course we'll mention in a moment, Adesanya's not going to knock him dead with one shot. Like, you wouldn't walk down Derek Lewis with that kind of, you know, disregard for range. Or, you know, I mean, The point is that Adesanya's going to need a few shots to catch you. You know, he's going to need to wear you down a little bit. Jared Cannonier can hit you with one shot and put you on the floor. And I'm not saying Adesanya doesn't have power, but it's an accumulation of shots. It's not one single bang. And like when Cannonier dropped Gastelum, it was just a perfect clean shot, lead hook, not really any wind up, just a nice step in. Sorry, a lead right hook, cracked him on the chin and dropped him on the spot. And Gastelum's got a wicked chin. I mean, he was able to recover and continue fighting, but that instantaneous power is not something that we see necessarily from Adesanya, which for me would give Jared Cannonier the confidence to move a bit closer into range, to close him down and try and get his hands on him or start clinching and hitting him with shorter shots. I mean, the elbows that he caught Derek Brunson with were brilliant. But on the outside, he's gonna look like he's leagues behind, because he doesn't have the tools or the range to get in close to Adesanya to play those games. Adesanya on the outside is going to be poking and teasing him and finding opportunities to land his better shots. The other thing as well, so the other thing is they're both going to be attacking each other's lead leg. Adesanya's got very good targeting. Cannonier's got very good power. So they're both, it's a bit of a trade-off. Now, if we look at Cannonier against Anderson Silva, and it's worth noting that obviously Adesanya will switch stance. Cannonier will also switch stance. So the inside and outside attacks will be on constantly. And it doesn't really matter to Cannonier. He's got good leg kicks from both sides. And even if you stay in range, because he has such power to the kick, he moves you so much that any shots that you're throwing as a counter are not necessarily going to be very valuable, which to an extent nullifies Adesanya's reach advantage, because to counter low kicks, you really want, you know, long arms for punches, which Adesanya's got. But he also doesn't want his legs getting kicked to pieces like Anderson Silva got. And the targeting of this is very specific every time. Inside low, inside leg, right above the knee. Really not a pleasant place to get kicked. Here's another clean example of one. Goes to the body kick, goes to the body punch, moves himself just into range, and then smashes that kick. And you can see Anderson Silva reaching for it, because you can watch this fight through yourself. Cannonier lands a good low kick about every 30 seconds in this fight. And they're almost always to the same leg, because Anderson Silva is predominantly southpaw. So he's smashing that lead leg over and over again. And Anderson starts to do things to react, like he switches to a more Thai stance where he rocks his weight onto his back foot and kind of taps his lead foot like a traditional kind of Thai boxing impression you would do. Like that shows you that Anderson Silva is feeling that inside leg straight away. And you can see that the way that Jared Cannonier is throwing all of his weight into that. I mean, he is literally throwing everything into that kick. Stepping with that lead foot and smashing into the lead leg. Really, really incredibly painful, especially, you know, like every 30 seconds. And this was the one that finished him. And again, same target. Like he's going to the inside of the knee. So he's flaring the knee. And then as Anderson Silva steps on it, that's when he feels the pain. Like you can't take very many of those. This is a 25-minute fight. So you've got to think, if Jared Cannonier can have the confidence to move himself into Adesanya's range with a tight, confident guard and not bite too much on the feints that we get from Adesanya all the time, just stay tight and stay close and keep smashing those low kicks, that will immediately start taking some of the movement away from Adesanya, which will straight away take some of the sting away from his punches and some of his reaction time as well. So Cannonier will then be able to step in quickly with that lead right hook and catch him, or lead left hook, or whatever shot he wants to use. And Adesanya won't be quite as quick to return. It's a risky strategy, of course, but then fighting Adesanya is a risky strategy for anything. I mean, you know, Cannonier could be, he could do something else as a job. The nature of this is that it's dangerous, and, you know, you've got to kind of weigh up those risks. And I think if I was Cannonier, I would take the risk of taking punches from Adesanya to land heavy low kicks. Because once I've destabilized the base of Adesanya, it takes away a lot of the finesse of his game. He starts to become quite flat-footed, and then he starts to lean away with his head, and that's where Cannonier's speed comes into play. The same dangers that Cannonier possesses for Adesanya, though, go the opposite way. And the best example, of course, is Paulo Costa. And the reason why I circle back to this fight is because Cannonier could fall into the same trap. You know, he kind of fell into the same trap against Whittaker. He struggled a little bit with Whittaker's movement. He started biting on Whittaker's movement, and then he walked onto those head kicks, which was really kind of, you know, for me, the most significant strikes of the fight. With Paulo Costa, he couldn't get close to Adesanya. He didn't feel confident to bridge that gap between the two of them, because Adesanya did such a good job of filling it with something, whether it was feints or low kicks or jabs or whatever. There was always something that was ready to fill that space between the two of them, which meant Costa was always kind of hanging on the outside. And you remember that first round yourself. I mean, you've probably watched this fight loads of times as well. Adesanya was smashing that lead leg, smashing it. But look at the difference in the targeting. He's going for the calf, which, you know, assuming these two guys are both in the same stance, I would imagine they're both going to be attacking the same target. And for as accurate as Adesanya is, I would probably rather take five of his kicks than one or two of Jared Cannonier's, just because I think Cannonier can generate a lot more force. And because he knows that he's got that power, he's going to invest a bit more in those shots. Whereas Adesanya, you know, he's, you know, 66% decision fighter. He's, you know... it's a, I don't know. I just feel like the trade-off. If I'm Jared Cannonier, I think he feels like a heavyweight. He fights like he's still a heavyweight. He's fighting like he's fighting smaller guys. Even though Adesanya's gonna be taller and longer than him, Jared Cannonier on the inside is gonna look like Mike Tyson against most of the heavyweights that he was fighting. I think he's got that raw strength and power, as long as he's got the confidence to back it up. But this Adesanya keeping you on the outside, smashing your legs and stuff. I mean, you're not gonna get ahead with this guy. And this is where his movement comes into play, because he constantly has to change his angle, because he's, you know, people are always trying to close his distance, close him down. So he always finds himself at this kind of area where he's up against these lines on the octagon. And this is his kind of operating space. You know, he's quite happy to drift around the edge, especially because this is where he prefers to defend his takedowns as well, bear in mind, if you think back to the Marvin Vettori fight. So Adesanya drifting around the edge of the octagon here and picking off means that he needs his legs underneath him, being able to carry him side to side. So if you start dismantling that lead leg, then you can start slowing him down and making him a bit more of a sitting duck for the big power punches that follow. If you don't have the confidence to bridge this gap, though, Adesanya's going to do the same thing to you on the outside. He's going to dismantle your lead leg, which means that he can always get the angle before you can react and turn to face him. The low kicks are going to be a big key in this fight as soon as it starts. Because the thing is, especially with the Paulo Costa fight, once the low kicks have started to do damage, Costa went back to his corner. He sat on his stool. He had to think back to the glasses of red wine he drank the night before and thought to himself, I would love another one of those glasses of red wine right now because this leg's really hurting. And then he would have thought to himself, I've got to close distance in this next round. I've got to put it on him in this round. He had his corner team going, you've got to close distance, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, you've got to do something. So he comes out in the next round and now he's trying to close distance. Now he's really trying to be aggressive. But he's now stepping on a lead leg that's mincemeat. So every time he steps forward, he's a little bit sheepish with that. And he's a little bit timid to step his weight onto it. And then when he does, he's fully committed because it's difficult to pull back. And then he's walking onto Adesanya's jab. Bang, in the nose. Bang, in the nose again. So then he starts to do this. And he starts to reach and lean. And you can't do these things with Adesanya. You've probably seen me break this down before. It's one of my favorite setups, which actually will be featured in the other war room on O'Malley against Munoz. So make sure you check that one out. But like, you can see what he's doing here. He's reading him here, throwing that jab out there, stinging him on the nose, keeping that distance between them. Look how long that is. Look how he extends his whole body as well. So not only is he got longer arms and he's taller, but he's also really fully extending his punches, making the most of it. Stings him on the nose, but look how he's reading where the guard is. He's looking around the outside of his guard. So of course, then what does Adesanya do? He moves around, he picks at him a little bit, he re-establishes that leg attack just to divert him. Look at the leg. I mean, it's looks rough. And then again, you know, you've got Paulo Costa, who's now feeling like he's got a close distance. He gets a little bit reckless. Adesanya drifts from orthodox to southpaw. He's under attack. Orthodox stomps the lead foot. Costa closes distance with a double jab. Adesanya's there. Orthodox switches to southpaw, pulls him a little bit. And then he's going to fire his left hand like it's a straight punch. And look, look where Paulo Costa's arm is. Oh, bang, right on the side of his head. Took the top of it like a boiled egg. Bang, look at that, beautiful, really nice setup. But that's from that read of every time Adesanya extends his hand, Costa's going, reaching for it. Think back to Jared Cannonier against Whittaker. This was a very, very similar setup. Whittaker was stepping and throwing his rear hand and then swinging up the leg behind it and catching him with it. Rocked him a couple of times. He's got to be very careful, which is another reason why I feel like if he decides if he's got the confidence, should I say, because it's difficult, you know, you stand in front of someone that moves like some kind of snake, some kind of reptile, and you just don't feel like you can get close to him. You feel like that distance between you is so far. And you know, you can kind of get a bit stagnant, and in your brain you're going, I'll go in a second. He's going to come to me in a minute. I'll go then. And, you know, you just kind of get lulled into this like Paulo Costa did. And then pressure and you know, a bit of pain, a bit of damage that you've accumulated starts to pile on top, and then you start going forward without the same kind of thought process that you would in, you know, in the first round if you were clear-minded. This is the danger against Adesanya. We see this a lot. It either becomes a bit of a standoff like it did against Yoel Romero, or people pressure and then end up getting themselves hurt. This was a lovely setup here. Really, really nice. And then you remember the finish. There's the kick. And then you remember the finish. Very, very similar to the Rob Whittaker drift away hook. So again, you know, if he's worked that lead leg, he's gonna be able to read you stepping a lot easier onto that lead leg. Once he reads you stepping heavy onto that lead leg, he knows you're committed. He knows you're going to struggle to get your weight back off that leg because the muscles are straining to fire and the knee's swollen up. So then as you land on that lead leg, then he's starting to sting you with stuff, which means that you've then got to start reacting with your upper body because your lower body's not responding. And then you start getting, you know, people's toes slapped around your face. They're the risks for Jared Cannonier. And I feel like that's a much greater risk if he's trying to play the range game and moving himself in and out. If he's trying to pressure, trying to push the pace, and, you know, let's be honest, if I'm Jared Cannonier, I'm thinking I'm putting it on this guy for 10 minutes. And if I've not got him out of there in the first 10 minutes, I will at least have hoped to have done enough damage to get myself into a comfortable place on the scorecard so I've only got one more round to win out the next three. Even better if he cracks him with a couple of shots and drops him, maybe gets a 10-8 round. There are lots of different ways to approach a 5-round fight. It's very different to a 3-round fight. And you've got to look at the assets that you've got on the table. Adesanya, he's 5-round fights one after the next. I mean, his last three have been 5-rounders. You know, we know Jared Cannonier can do 5 rounds because he did it against Gastelum, but most of the time he stops people in the second. And this kind of backs up the same thing. Like, he starts kind of calm, but he's still testing, he's still looking for things, he's still working targets that he know will pay dividends in the next round, like he did against Anderson Silva. I'm sure he didn't intend on stopping him with that low kick, but he did invest the time into that leg, so, you know, he got there in the end. But the point is, roll the dice, you know, take a few chances. If he can close distance and hit Adesanya with something, he might be able to hurt him. But if he gets caught on the outside and lulled into this trap of waiting, Adesanya will just dance away with the whole fight, and Cannonier will never feel like he got started. He'll get back to the dressing room afterwards and he'll be like, "Oh, I should have done something." The reason why it's valuable for Jared Cannonier to close distance, and again, you know, he's up against a good wrestler here in Brunson, is it if he gets his hands on Adesanya, it's gonna feel a lot like it did with Jan Błachowicz. I mean, you know, Jan's a big, strong, powerful individual, but Jared Cannonier is, I mean, shake hands with the guy. He is just rocks. He's just power. Like, if he's able to get his hands on Adesanya, I think he's going to be able to maintain that strength and that muscling in the clinch a lot longer as well. And I also think at close range, he's going to be far more devastating. Like, this elbow that he lands here against Derek Brunson was the beginning of the end. And intelligently closing distance, not recklessly like chasing and being excited, but cautiously closing distance to try and maintain that pressure is a real value to him, especially if he's already got Adesanya rocked at some point. Catches him with a smash elbow here, and then he hits him with this lovely back fist. It's a very Andre Arlovsky. Goes for the right hand, misses, and comes back with a smash back fist. Beautiful. Fills the space very well, closes distance, but he's not over-eager. Varies his targets, attacks the body, because of course his opponent's expecting a headshot. He still feels like he's got a head full of water. He's been caught with that clean elbow. Another left hand there. Chases him down, throws a kick, but he's staying close to him, but he's still not being reckless. Like, he's not winging wild shots and stuff. He's still taking his time, still working behind his jab. Finds himself in closer range here. This is where he gets really dangerous, in my opinion. And just look, I mean, look at how he just twists Brunson to the floor here. And it's this finish, like the way you watch this finish, the power in these shots. Let's just watch it through slow. Like, the way he's able to twist and smash Brunson like that in such a close range. Like, that's scary raw power. Scary, scary raw power. Like, this is the asset that he brings to the octagon. It's that ability to be blunt force trauma at very, very close range. And because he's the one that's 5'11 and has a 77-inch reach compared to Adesanya, 6'4 with these long 80-inch arms, like, this is the range he needs to be. Look at that beautiful back fist. I mean, that is Andre Arlovski would be proud of that. Like, doesn't even have to be orthodox. I mean, that was probably one of the most powerful shots that he landed in this finishing sequence. Like, fill the space. You know, once the flurry started, and if it gets here, it's I mean, this is really where Jared Cannonier can do the damage. You can even see the talcum flying in the corner. This whole thing might feel a little bit kind of weighted towards Jared Cannonier, but that's because I want to put him on the table as a contender, because a lot of people are going, yeah, but Adesanya, you know, Whittaker beat Cannonier and Adesanya beat Whittaker twice. So it's not quite as simple as that. You know, sometimes a 3-round fight against a particular type of opponent can be very, very different to a 5-round fight against somebody else. This is a title fight. He's got the world champion in front of him. It's the main event. His face is on the poster. The lights are on him. You know, there's a lot of things changing him for him about this fight. I feel like if he finds the confidence to put his foot on the gas and close distance, it's his best chance of coming out with the victory and with the belt. He has to close distance, because if he's on the outside against Adesanya, he is up against physical attributes, and he's up against one of the best strikers that we've got in the sport. If he can get close to him, though, get hands on him, land some of those elbows, maybe even take him to the floor. I mean, you know, of course Adesanya's, you know, takedown defense is improving all the time, but majority of the time he's functioning off the fence. He likes to defend his takedowns off the fence. And I just feel like the general, you know, the physical presence of Jared Cannonier, especially if he's able to land a couple of shots and hurt Adesanya, that's where it starts to get problematic for the champion. What a fight this is. I mean, pretty even as far as the statistics go. Strikes landed per minute, 3.84 for Adesanya, 3.76 for Cannonier. Striking accuracy is almost identical. Strikes absorbed per minute, of course, slightly less for Adesanya. Takedown defense, Adesanya 77%. That might be useful in this fight, but no takedowns attempted for him. 50% takedown accuracy for Jared Cannonier. Of course, he's not known for his takedowns, but after watching the Jan Błachowicz fight, it might be an ace card in his back pocket for those later rounds. I'm really excited for this one. I think it could be a lot more competitive. It's really all dependent on the challenger coming in and what mindset he's in, because we all know how good Adesanya is. Oh, what a fight this is going to be. All right, catch you next time.